Let me ask him one question before we cheer. What number of president is Obama?
42?
Wrong. What number?
Ah,
is he 42?
I think he's 42.
He's 44.
He's either 40. Hey, I got close, man. I was proud. I think I got close.
All right.
Did you ask me without knowing the answer?
Yeah, I was hoping you'd say 44 because that's what episode we're on.
He could have been.
This is the Obama episode.
It could be. I was going
to
guess.
You have to be pro-Obama.
I was
going to
guess 40.
I'm fine with those.
45?
45. You might be 44 and 45. Do they do it that way?
No, they don't. Because we'd have more than that.
No. Because he's just one president. But if you get reelected, do you get counted as like...
Well...
That's what I'm saying. Or is he like...
If you get reelected non-consecutively, which has happened once... To a guy that I can't recall the name of.
Oh, really?
That's pretty
impressive.
There's a president.
He did a world tour. He did rock shows in between, and he's just so
he popular. Is the 44th president of the United States.
So welcome to the President Obama episode 44. Yay. We made it.
We made it.
Let's bring that back to the Jeter
change.
Tour. Let's bring that back. All right. So since we're on the topic of Obama,
okay.
I don't know if you guys have driven up. I think it's 25. Where somebody in their field has some signs that says, no hope. And there's two blank ones.
No hope, no
What was written on the blank ones that they had to take down? I think it was probably the N-word was one of them for
Dude,
sure.
Dude, how do I pass by it? It was no hope, no change.
It was.
They painted over two of
them. It was specific to the election.
Come on, dude. It had to be really offensive.
It was specific.
No, both of you are being way too serious about this.
No, it said the N-word, and then it had a guy in blackface on the fourth one.
There you go.
And then it had...
We're on today, fellas.
For the Ku Klux Klan meeting, the next date, for local white supremacist chapter.
One of those pyramids with an eye on top.
Well, actually, we were talking about Longmont earlier. Did you know that in 1914, here's what you get if you grow up in Longmont. In 1914, the mayor of Longmont was also the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan.
Wow.
But, like, openly. Like, everybody knew. It wasn't
while he was mayor?
Yeah.
Well, he held two offices.
He held two offices.
Well.
One of which is, a private social club.
Which is,
for white men.
Right.
The other of which is the government office of...
What's more difficult, to hold a public office while you're the leader of the Ku Klux Klan, or to be president, lose your re-election bid, and then run again? This feels like something Mitt Romney would do. It's like, he finally wins, loses, then he runs, he's like, I'm going to run until I do all 8 years.
I'm going to get it. I'm going to get those 8 years.
Which would be harder?
Depends on the part of the country.
I think it depends on the part of the country, depends on the era.
Yeah.
You know, to qualify that question.
I think it would be easier to
1914, KKK leader, mayor of little Longmont.
Yeah.
Not that rough. But, like, especially, well, so in this day and age, I think it would be tougher once they figured out you're the KKK leader.
Yeah.
I think that it's a hell of a feat to be the president, lose the presidency, then come back.
I don't know, man. Once you've tasted that power, I think you'll do anything to get it back. You're like, no.
Yeah, but imagine losing that power. Like, can you imagine what, like, Mitt Romney has gone through now to lose a primary,
and then
to win the primary, and then to lose the...
And
then
Bush has told him?
Well, I mean, you have to assume, right?
He fielded a lot of options.
He was running
and then,
this day, and 7 days later, he's like, never mind, everybody, I'm not going to run. It's like the Bushes went to him and be like, it's Jeb's turn, bud.
Isn't that weird,
it's
though?
It's Jeb's turn.
Fucking
and
Jeb
he's like,
Bush.
All right, I had my shot.
Who would have ever thought, like, back in the day, that Jeb would have been... a legitimate contender.
Yeah. He was like a punchline.
I thought he was supposed to be before G-Dub, right?
Before? Like, they have this plan?
Yeah, like, yeah. Haven't you seen the movie? Come on, man.
What movie? Oliver Stone? Like, some crazy...
W?
No?
Okay.
No, Josh all I saw, that was an awful movie.
But it's great.
That movie was so...
So slanted to my what my opinions were.
Here, okay.
It. I don't even know what... I can't remember. Is it a shitty...
Grover Cleveland, as a matter of fact, was the 22nd and then the 24th president.
He didn't like
of the United States.
Who was 23rd?
He was OCD.
23rd.
Who was Jordan?
Michael.
Benjamin Harrison.
Yeah. No one remembers
one of the one of those guys that you're like, whatever.
That sucks that you could go, you could become the president of the United States. You think everyone's going to remember me for forever. And now we're just a bunch of assholes. Like, who's Benjamin? Who's fucking asshole? Doing jerk off motions. Like, this guy didn't do shit.
Wait, okay.
Let me ask you a question about the president. So, if you get reelected, you're still the 44th president, right?
Yeah.
So, he's the only president, even though he served the same amount of years, that has two numbers.
He served 8 years, but because of.
He gets two pictures on the
poster.
He
gets
two jerseys when teams visit the White House.
Because of that guy that I already forgot the name of, because he's that insignificant towards history.
Harrison Barnes?
All right. He plays for Penn State. I mean, this could be a dull game, but we could come up with.
I'm down.
Oh, good. He loves dull games. But we could figure out.
Presidents?
We could figure out...
Speak while you're scrolling. This is the problem.
I know. All right. So, I'm going to name all of the presidents.
Okay.
You just give me, I remember that guy. Okay. Or, no, I don't remember
I never
that guy.
That guy.
Okay.
No.
Let's disrespect some great men.
Wait.
Are they that great? Are they that great? Should I do them sequentially or non-sequentially?
Just pick, like... 15 of your choosing. We're going to do 50 presidents.
Okay. Okay.
That's empty fun.
44? All right, let's do it.
Just speed run. Speed run.
But
okay.
Does 23 count? Because I wouldn't have, but now I've heard of it.
Now you heard of it. Now,
George Harrison, right?
We'll have to see when we get to 23. All right, George Washington.
Yes.
Yes.
John Adams.
Yes.
Thomas Jefferson.
Yes.
James Madison.
Yes.
James Monroe.
Yes. Yes.
John Quincy Adams.
Yes.
Andrew Jackson.
Yes.
Martin Van Buren.
Yes.
William Henry Harrison.
No.
That's where the list stopped for me, too. I was like,
so we've
William
had two Harrisons.
Henry Harrison.
We could do this with SNL cast, too.
John Tyler.
Mm-mm. No. Lead singer of Aerosmith?
Steven Tyler.
Steven Tyler. Steven Tyler. Related. Related.
He's 37th president.
James K. Polk.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got a shot or something.
Is he
right?
Fat? He's really fat, right?
No, you're thinking Taft.
Taft.
If we say we know the guy, we have to give a factoid about him. If you got to prove, motherfucker, that you know this
guy. I've heard of Polk. Come on.
He got shot, right? He's the guy who shot
the guy. I think he got shot, yeah.
Did he die?
I think he was gangster. I think that was his characteristic.
No, he didn't die. No. Lincoln and Kennedy are the only ones who've been successfully killed.
Who else has been shot? Reagan? This guy, apparently.
Reagan got shot?
Yeah, Reagan got shot.
Zachary Taylor, he died right after he got to office. I remember that because there was a drunk history about him.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's continue the list and then we'll do more president.
Millard Fillmore?
No.
I remember him just for Mallard Fillmore.
If you asked me to draw him, I would draw a turtle with a hat.
Oh.
Yeah,
what about Mallard Fillmore, though? The duck syndicated cartoon?
Is that real?
Yeah. Franklin Pierce?
Yes.
Really?
No.
Okay. James Buchanan?
Yeah.
Be confused with Pat.
Pat Buchanan?
No, James Buchanan, way back in 1857 to 1861.
I'm very familiar with that period, I think. I'm gonna go
no idea.
Okay, Abraham Lincoln?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I know him.
Andrew Johnson?
Yes.
No. The guy who followed Lincoln.
That sounds like...
You don't remember the guy who followed Lincoln?
That's from a name out of a presidential name generator.
Wait, was he VP? So he would have been VP and then became president, right?
Yeah.
So what was his name again?
Andrew Johnson.
Nothing.
Nothing. He actually he did a lot to establish those Jim Crow laws and everything.
Oh, wow.
So he did a lot to help kind of undermine some of or minimize the negative effect on wealthy white Southerners.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
It was also a period of time where the guy that got beat became the vice president.
That was
a rule of American history. So he ran against Lincoln, got beat by Lincoln.
Asked him
was Lincoln's
VP.
Vice president? No, they had to. That was like the matter of course. You just
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
That makes good God.
And these so, two assholes can are just talking a bunch of shit about each other.
Can
for
you
a
imagine?
Year.
Yeah.
The two have
Mitt,
to work together now.
Can you imagine if Mitt had been like, all right, Mitt?
I think they would have worked well together, actually. Obama and Mitt,
I think,
for sure.
I think Obama and Mitt would have worked better than Obama and McCain, but those are still very interesting ways.
I think there's
in which
too much money involved in the politics, you know, with their decisions now, that they, it wouldn't work as well. Like, if you took the people who pay them, you know, out of the picture, then Mitt and Obama could probably work together mm-hmm. and do some really good shit. But Mitt's being paid by, you know,
all
some
sorts.
People
yeah.
that really don't like this agenda and
yeah.
vice versa.
I also yeah. think that party lines have become so volatile in this day and age.
Oh,
it's
for
like
sure.
that you just have to be a Republican, you have to hardline disagree with so many
Daily
things.
Daily yeah. Show just did a
that
bit about inner party marriages. And treat it like racial, yeah. interracial. They're like, and they would interview a panel of four Republicans and four Democrats, and they were both like, no, I would never marry a Republican. And like, would you want your kid? No. God, no.
It's a weird...
It like a weird
I think
like,
I could really get off on it sexually. I think if I really disagreed with somebody...
Every,
like,
you'd be watching, you'd be
stop
watching
calling
the
Obama
news
care.
All
it's
the time.
It's horrible health.
It's helping a lot of people.
Just hate fucking all the time. Yeah. Just hate fucking all the time.
Don't get... That
what,
sounds good.
What number are we on?
Okay, I don't know. We're on Ulysses S. Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Rutherford B. Hayes.
Yes.
Yeah.
James A. Garfield.
He fat?
That's another Garfield? Didn't we already have a Garfield?
Is
that the fat one?
How's he feel about Mondays?
He hates them. He
hates
them. He loves lasagna. He was only president for 1881, though, so... You
so
know,
probably not.
Probably not.
I mean, I've heard the name Garfield.
Chester
know.
A. Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
There's a joke, a Simpsons joke, where they reference Chester A. Arthur.
And he looked
oh,
looked
okay.
it up. He saw stone on his calves.
That's what I do with Frasier.
I want to look that
what
up.
Say? Who's Vivaldi?
So, Grover Cleveland.
Yeah.
Then Benjamin Harrison. Similar to George, but not quite. Benjamin Harrison.
He's
then,
23.
Uh-huh. And then Grover Cleveland again.
Yep.
Again. Yes,
I've heard of
that's
him.
A guy.
William McKinley.
Yes. Yep.
Theodore Roosevelt.
Yep.
William Howard Taft.
Yep.
He's
yep.
the fat one.
oh,
Woodrow Wilson.
So he followed a guy in a wheelchair.
Yeah. And he was really fat.
It really opened
there's
his
some
doors.
Yeah. There's some story about him not being able to get out of his tub or something at some point. That's
See,
what I remember
if
about
If Obama
Taft.
Was in a wheelchair, Chris Christie would just, like, sail into the presidency.
Ooh, do a dance, yeah. Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah.
Yep.
Warren G. Harding.
I heard it.
Calvin Coolidge.
Yep.
Yeah.
Herbert Hoover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Who actually was...
Cousins?
He was cousins too, but he also married. He married his cousin Eleanor Roosevelt, who is also a lesbian.
How? Oh, that's probably their arrangement, right? Does that mean he was gay, or did he just philander?
No, he just philandered.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Harry Truman.
Yep.
Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Mm-hmm.
John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, we're in the.
Lyndon
yeah,
B. Johnson,
yes,
Richard
here.
Nixon, Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, George W.
Who's
Bush.
Who's Jimmy Carter?
H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama.
There you go.
And then, oh my God. Jeb Bush. Wikipedia
already
knows. Wikipedia already knows.
The Koch brothers saying Wikipedia money.
It's like, no, it's that's fact. That's fact.
It's going to happen.
It hasn't happened yet. Yeah.
I just hope it's a... Like, last year's election, if you vote...
Wouldn't
you, know,
you have been more scared if I said Rand Paul? Actually, that's a really valuable question.
He's got great
Would
hair.
You have been more scared if I... Which is scarier? Is Jeb Bush in office or Rand Paul? In office, which is just more frightening.
I don't know enough about him.
I think Jeb
just because of
the people who are pulling the purse strings there.
Bush.
Rand will make. I think Rand would try to bring the gold standard back. He'd probably legalize marijuana across, you know, nationwide.
Well,
he'd do a lot of like,
he reduced a lot to like state rights.
He's which is great. He's crazy as fuck. But
he's crazy
he's
as fuck. Well,
I mean, he'd be better than Jeb. I don't know who's paying Jeb. I don't know who's making the decisions.
Well, everybody that's
Watch,
paid all
Cheney
of the Bush
will be
family.
VP again?
Is it just like name recognition? Like how you have to like you. How they put Twilight above all the Twilight movies, so you know they're all the same. Just like, oh, this guy's named Bush. How much is that actually worth?
Well, but you see, the thing is that it's Bush money, you know? As you get all the Bush money, you get all the connotation. For some people, it's a super positive connotation.
Yeah.
For some people, it's a really negative
I think Jeb's
going to
have a pretty easy... Like, who's running against him? Christie? It's going to be Jeb and
Christie.
Somebody from Florida, maybe? I don't know. They have a few guys down there, like Congressman.
Well, like Ted Cruz kind of... That's a problem
He's
is
the Texas
that
guy,
they've
right?
always been bringing up guys and then it's like that guy will do something major to put his foot in his mouth. Whereas, and like, so Chris Christie looked way better for it about 2 years ago than he has in the last year. And then Jeb hasn't really done anything plus or minus. He's just been Jeb Bush this whole time. And then Rand Paul is this really good leader in
Florida. Like, he's the Bush we wanted.
Between the two, he would have been the one. If I had to pick Bush child, it would have been Jeb. But there's all that bad leftover taste.
What I wonder is how much that really gay hug between Chris Christie and the owner of the Cowboys... How much that hurt him? I think that probably dropped him like 10 points just because...
He went to the next game with him, I think, though.
How do you fucking do that?
Well, him and Jerry, I don't know. Jerry's probably giving him a lot of money.
I want to be so rich that politicians are my friends.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're fucking rich.
I don't know, because it would mean that just all of the integrity had evacuated itself from my life.
But I'd be really rich. I'd
become that rich.
I'd be really rich.
Yeah, yeah.
All my floors would be marble.
Is that your priority? Is heated marble?
And my toilet seat.
A heated marble toilet seat stays in place
when you lean to one side. It doesn't like slip off the edge. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does that happen to you guys? Or
I would.
I
want to get all marble floors. I think that's very scary because if you fall, you're gonna die.
You're gonna die on any floor.
No, you're not. This carpeted floor, you're saying I fall, I die on this carpet?
Oh, you want marble, like, wall-to-wall flooring.
You want
to up the ante. Yeah.
Dude.
No throw rugs. Yeah. No padding.
People are dying because of the laws I've passed and the money I've made. I better have fucking marble everything.
Up the stakes.
Yeah. It's the only thing I would do that'd be worth the horrible things I'm doing.
Excuse me, why are all these mugs so heavy? They're made from marble.
Yeah.
Watch out. Watch out. You drop one on your foot, you're probably going to die.
This is a very presidential episode so far.
Hey,
should we introduce our guests, maybe? I think we're, like 20-some minutes in?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, right on the button. Yeah. I have a ghost pee sense.
Yeah, well,
our guest today is
one of our favorites, really, from the whole run.
Yeah, yeah. He did some...
validation.
No, you did some characters for us.
Oh, man. No, I didn't.
Mr. Patrick Scott.
I remember a very complex ball-slapping episode.
Oh, yeah, the ball ringer.
Yeah. Oh, I do remember
Alexander
that.
Houston.
It's really kind of...
Houston Alexander is a real bell ringer, I think, was the name of the episode.
It kind of scares me. That kind of thing would be searchable on the internet, and I could be like... Somebody looking for me for a job interview.
I know, right? Good luck for your bid for office.
We talked about that on Jacob's podcast about how we're just could be hurting our careers down the road.
Could really be by just goofing around.
Yeah, I think I heard that. That's a good actual thought.
Nobody's think. I think it comes up on the first moment at stand up. Yeah. Like, what if a future employer is?
It comes up all the time.
I never thought of being employed.
Here's actually.
He says with his eyes half open, I never thought of being employed. I wasn't thinking about that.
A great story. So for a while, my mom wrote these short stories, and some of them were pretty bizarre, and she was getting them published in like lit journals online and everything, and one of them. One of the weirdest ones was a woman who, right after a divorce, got a tattoo of the Virgin Mary on her vagina.
Okay.
Why?
I can see it. That's not one of her short stories that I revisit all the time. Her mother's fiction pieces about tattooed vaginas. It's like, all right, I'm out, you know, like, I'm glad you got a hobby.
But she didn't write that in her early 20s. She wrote that later in life.
Yeah, she wrote that later in life as like a
if somebody in their early 20s wrote something about a woman getting the Virgin Mary tattooed on their vagina and then went to a job interview like 2 months later and like, this article you wrote here.
Well,
is that pro Virgin Mary or anti-Virgin Mary?
Somebody had Googled her though.
Pro vagina, anti-religion.
And they're like, so there's a lot of interesting stories that come up. There's a lot of interesting stories that come up when one
Googles your name.
And she was like, oh my god.
You can't, but could you prove that's your vagina? Like that could be some other.
Maybe. It doesn't really matter. It's just your name attached to.
So she's probably fucked a bunch of other people with her name who think they have a vagina.
Probably.
Man, that sucks.
Yeah. Well, and it wasn't like In this nonfiction piece, I will describe to you my decision-making process behind getting the Virgin Mary.
I would read that. Yeah, you know, sure.
I found out years later that there's actually a term for it. It's called a clown box. Is when you get the vagina tattooed.
Let's, for our last episode, try to track down somebody to interview who has
a tattoo,
a vagina tattoo. Or a dick tattoo.
Calling all genital tattoos. I could actually...
If you know somebody
Let me talk to my tattoo artist guy and let me see if he's done any...
genitalia.
The winner gets on a special episode of Ghost Pee where we interview about your genitalia.
It'll be the last episode. Maybe that'd be a great way to just go out on top.
That's a real good way.
The first question is, so tell us about your wiener.
So, what was that like?
Oh, it hurt? Really?
I've gotten a lot of tattoos.
For our cover photo?
I've gotten a lot of tattoos at this point in various places, and it's weird what is sensitive and not sensitive.
Oh, really?
Like, in tattooing.
To the needle?
Well, like, yeah, so my last tattoo is this fairly large back tattoo that I got, and it was so weird, the parts that hurt really bad and the parts that didn't. Like, for instance, some of it that was right on my spine, you'd assume... would be like, oh, that was agonizing. Yeah. Some of that I could feel the least.
Oh, really?
Compared to, like, weird little edges or, like, to reference, for you people at home, I'm touching one part of one of my tattoos and then touching another part of my body. But, so when they were tattooing, like, his eyeball right here, right about mid-bicep, I could have swore, because I wasn't looking at it, I could have swore that his needle... was, like, in my armpit. And I was like, I don't recall the tattoo.
Yeah.
There was no plan for it to go that far up there, you know? And so, but the whole thing was that I basically just experienced that.
Yeah.
As, like, an entire band of pain.
Wow.
And so, all of that being said, none of it has ever made me think, oh, yeah, I could totally get my wang tattooed. You know, I've never thought, like, at this point, it's like I've crossed a lot of the bridges of pain tolerance, too, like... And
I mean, if I ever had need for a picture on my dick, I would just stamp it on there, you know?
I guess.
Just keep, like, it's no pain at that point. And I could stamp it every day.
Every single day. Yeah.
You marry some woman who thinks you have a dick tattoo.
Yeah, like,
you
have to keep up a stamp.
At some point, it looks slightly off. I don't know what you're talking about, honey. That's a tattoo. Do you want me to talk about how much that hurt?
Because I'm such a man.
Get my dick tattooed.
That's why you love me.
Yeah, you know, just a personal ad, just going out here. I would love a woman who needed nothing from me than occasional testaments to my decent pain tolerance. If we could build a relationship off of that, like, yeah, I just fell down those stairs.
Weston's watching the fucking game.
Dude, I'm getting really wrapped up. They just took the lead back. KU game's playing for you listening, if you're still listening.
Jesus Christ, that kid looks like a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, dude, short, really short kid.
Fuente 3?
Fuente. He's the whitest Mexican dude I've ever seen.
Fuente. Yeah, I know, that's why I was like, I just took one look, I was like, Fuente 3, okay. Alright, that's a hell of a... Hey, Patrick, can you give us an update on the weather?
No.
I know.
We've established
it twice.
It's unseasonably hot out. In fact, it's scaring me because how hot it is.
Gus is loving it out there. Look at him on the back porch.
Oh, yeah.
Big fat dog. I love it.
What are you talking about? He's been out for some walks.
He's small and fat.
For his body shape.
He's fat.
Yeah. What is his...
All right, so... The last time you were on the podcast, we were sitting in the apartment. It was right before we moved into the Ghost Pee House.
Yeah, it was really weird.
What's happened with you? Because they listened religiously, I'm sure.
To us.
They know what we've been up to.
Do you think there's some guy in the sedan who's just been like, oh,
I don't know. If there's somebody who's listened to every episode.
Oh, no! Tweet at us, friend.
Well, I thought just one tweeter.
Tweet. Just one a singular tweet. Yeah.
At either or both of us.
I have been here since the beginning. And we'd just be like, wow, shout out to @
10 years from now, we're going to get this tweet, like, I've listened to all of them.
You know what I could see is some guy who's, like, into, like, sadomasochism and, like, wrenching at his nutsack and listening to Ghost Pee, like, yeah, it's just really punishing myself. I
this sounds
watch every episode.
Strangely autobiographical.
I do like, listen.
And
I do listen, and I am a huge sadomasochist. Ding, 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 ding.
You got me.
So, what's been some of your favorite or least favorite ghost pee adventures?
Well, that's a hard one.
Okay, well, let's just start. What are some of your least favorite ghost pee adventures?
No, I'm not.
He's like, since
I love them all.
Yeah, equally. Yeah. Like children.
Yeah.
Well, other than yourself, who's been our favorite guest?
Oh, my gosh.
Don't say Miles, please.
No. Oh, fuck, what was it? There's one. I can't remember. Can I look on my phone?
Yeah.
Hey, I'll look it up for later.
Okay, I will. There was one. I can't remember. Somebody was really funny.
Yeah, well, that's kind of always been our hope throughout this whole thing, but the yield, some of the times it's surprised.
We did a count of total minutes a few episodes back, where it was almost 2 days worth. Like, you'd have to just listen for 48 hours.
Oh, I think that was a while ago. I think we broke
two days, 50 hours. Like, at the end, we'll get, like, and Ghostbee is going to end on, it'll be some, like, magical number that we'll probably... Which president?
My favorite thing, honestly,
number 23.
About listening to it is I get an update on what Will's toys, what he's using today. Like, it's like, oh, Will's in a car. Yeah, he's bashing right against now. The table.
Yeah.
Well, we could watch him listen to him.
I would like to recount one of the greatest moments in Dad, like top 10.
That was I called it right after Sports Center, it was top 10. This Saturday's top 10 dad plays on SportsCenter.
That's fucking hilarious.
I get Weston, like, put that move up against any other dad move, like kid saving move around the country.
All of the dad
today.
Moves happening today, I mean, unless you'd saved your child from a bear or a raging river or a river full of raging bears, that's probably one, two, and three. But at four is Weston Unruh in Fort Collins, Colorado. Today at like just about at 11.
11-ish, yeah.
Just after 11, maybe.
Just the boys hanging out, throwing balls around.
Yeah, and Will goes up and he pushes on one of the baby gates.
So there's two sets of stairs in our living room. One going up, one going down to the...
We're on a nice little split level.
Yeah, it's like a split level. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So this gate's down in front of these stairs, and that's where he's throwing his balls up, but it goes through the gate down the second level.
It's like a nationwide commercial.
Yeah, yeah. And of exactly. Course, let's talk about the nationwide.
Oh my God.
I didn't see it.
This totally could have been, yeah. Like, sharing.
The Super Bowl ads were all depressing. Yeah. They were all
except the Scientology one. I found that one pretty inspiring.
So I met up with a group in Durango.
Try it out. This is what I'm really doing.
Yeah, I don't need possessions. They could have all my money and possessions. They'll be fine.
I just need to save
to
some more money.
TV falling onto your child and killing it during a Super Bowl ad?
On a TV commercial, too. To use the TV to transfer that.
People are like, I'm just going to go stand by the TV the rest of the deal. I'm just going to hold it up.
So, I hadn't thought about how I wasn't
holding this up. I don't have nationwide insurance. So
did somebody leave the tub on?
If my kid dies, I'm fucked. But,
Jesus,
okay,
dude,
so
that was so fucked up.
But so he tosses the ball and it falls down to the other flight of stairs and he kind of looks and then... Of course, Weston and I both look at him. We're like, it's gone forever now. You can never have that one back.
We're letting you play on this staircase. We're not doing two staircases.
And so he goes and he reaches over and then all of a sudden he pushes on the baby gate and he's getting
he's
stronger.
He's done it once
now.
Already this morning with the other gate.
Yeah.
He got mad that Beth went to go take a shower.
Yeah.
And just pulled it, like ripped it out of the jam and it fell down. It kind of scared him. He started crying. I was like, well... The gate
this one would have been worse because it was him pushing
and, it would have went
and
down.
He and the gate would have fallen. And Weston, from his knees, just extends out.
I dropped to my knees.
Grabs him.
I was standing. Come on, don't get it twisted.
He did a fucking burpee.
I dove and caught the baby.
Did a burpee. One hand caught the baby.
And then it was
just flexing.
It was like, move.
Start doing triangle push-ups.
Doing clappers with the baby floating in the air.
Juggled some things.
Don't get it twisted, man.
Come on, man.
All I remember is, though, just from this extended out thing, I almost expected for a second to watch Weston fall down the stairs holding his child with the gate, which would have been a bad start to my Saturday.
It would have ruined it.
Well, and see, so my thing
thanks
is,
a lot, asshole.
I'm very anti-spanking kids. You know?
Oh, yeah?
But I also have a bit of a temper, you know? And so your principles, and I was just like, don't do that. Like, I just had to look him in the eyes. Like, I'm mad and scared. Don't push on the gates. They're there for
a
reason.
And you could tell Will was stunned. He was like,
oh, my dad.
He was like, my language.
Saved me, and now he's yelling at me.
My language comprehension skills are not great, but I just put my father through the emotional gamut.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
you're giving him enough nonverbal cues by the day it's popping.
Well, and then he sat down, and I just like, you're okay, and we hugged it out, you know, like as men.
Yeah.
Just like hug it out.
Yeah.
All right, you didn't fall, you know, I'm not going to get in trouble.
It was a really great moment to be lawyer towards. Yeah, just kind of just like, wow. Yeah, wow. This was a powerful moment for a father and son.
So what I'm saying is Nick could have been crushing this whole time, just like bringing him over. Like, yeah, I know how to handle kids. I see it day in, day out. I saw him dive down the stairs the other day.
How are you, Daniel?
Because his kid was cliffhanging from the stairs. Like, you just make elaborate stories up.
Cliffhanging,
I can handle that.
Like Stallone, it was this little Stallone baby.
When you save the baby, it's
a little more articulate. A little more articulate than Stallone, not by much. And then his grip started to loosen with his little baby fingers, and his dad just comes out like a cyclone out of a tar pit.
Then, like, jumps out of a helicopter. Grabs on.
Out of the helicopter, in the house. Yes, I know. Look at how spacious the ceilings are.
We live in Colorado, that's why everyone's moving here.
Right.
It's not my greatest moment as a dad, though.
Why not?
Like, saving moment. Oh. I had one other where I twisted and I fell onto some rocks. He was in, like, a baby Bjorn.
Mm. Which just makes me realize the horrible design flaw of baby Bjorns, is because, like,
if you trip and fall forward, you're going to crush
your baby.
And that's a nationwide commercial.
Oh, my God.
A black and white dad. On his stomach.
If you ever trip and crush your baby, we'll be there for you.
I'm off center, so I just rock you on.
Just a father lying with like a baby Bjorn strapped to him, and he's just laying and crying. Like,
she thought she could trust me.
He was too young. And his brain was too soft.
No, actually, baby Bjorn has just been creating mad dad stunts since day one. It's like, notice, if you fall flat on your face, you will in fact fall flat on your entire infant child. And then it's like, oh my God, my back is going to hurt.
I would never do that. I don't think I love anything enough. Like, if I was carrying a...
your own flesh and blood?
I don't know.
Other than you?
You do it.
I can't.
Your natural instinct, dude.
I natural don't dad stinked.
Well, you stink for sure. Oh, shit. Got me on that one.
Yeah. It was good. It was great.
I don't know. Because my girlfriend... So, I'm going to tell you all this, and you guys can't tell her.
Okay.
But I think
you just
I'm...
tell her not to listen. She doesn't listen to your podcast.
No, don't worry about it. That guy in the Sudan, please don't tell her. No, she wants me to propose, and I'm going to do it very soon.
Oh, yeah?
Tonight, or maybe tomorrow night.
Wow!
Before we air, man. So you're good.
She's not gonna listen. She's not drudging through my
podcast.
Are
you serious that you're gonna?
Yeah.
You are like on the cusp of proposing.
I have a ring in my bag. It's that thing where you like carry it around for a long time and you're just like, oh, she's too drunk.
What's the moment?
She's too drunk.
Oh, I'm too drunk this time. I gotta wait for a sincere.
So we're either gonna get married or go to AA together because we're always drunk and we can't possibly propose.
You just propose your at an AA meeting.
I
hit rock bottom, but I hit it with you, babe.
Yeah, thank God. No, but it's hard, because I'm like, should it be something elaborate?
This is the first proposal announcement we've had on Ghostbit.
It's kind of a proposal announcement. It's an announcement of a proposal.
Yeah, it's an announcement that you're going to propose.
I'm marrying Kanye. I don't know.
Here's the secret.
Well, that's exciting.
You set your wedding date like 5 years away.
I'm really noncommittal about the whole thing. It's just like,
You got a ring and carrying it around. I'd love to see the most non-committal proposal. Oh, hey, what's this? It appears to be a ring, you know, the kind that oftentimes a man would offer a woman if he was, you know, suggesting that they engage in the contract of marriage or something like that. I don't know. Well, really, no.
That's how a proposal should end. Whatever you want to
do. Tomato, tomato. It is what
and
it
she's
is.
Already texting her friends like, I'm getting married, bitches. He just proposed. He's so manly. He's like, nah, whatever.
I mean, we could totally do this if you wanted to, but also not.
How long you guys been together?
9 years, I think. Very long.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Yeah, so it's ridiculous not to. Like, it's...
No, it's ridiculous too.
Really?
Yeah, this long?
So what should we do?
Part ways, you know, reasonably. I mean, how old are you? 9 years?
27.
So you're in high school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, yeah. High school sweetheart kind of deal, huh?
Yeah, man. It's...
So how'd you guys meet?
We're in speech and debate class.
Oh. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. So you're in debate.
Yeah.
Did you ever win any awards in debate? Like, were you good?
I got... But each, like, meet, I got into the finals of a meet once.
Okay.
Not very good.
Not very good at all.
Nope.
Did you
Let me tell you a little story.
Duo
the
or...
other night, I was in the room writing.
Yeah.
And Beth was out for a run, and she came back. And my brain had taken me from, you know, all these different places. And right when she got in, I had this thought. I won top speaker at a debate tournament one time.
Yeah.
I want to know where that fucking award is. It's somewhere. My mom has it.
Uh-huh.
It's somewhere. I want that award.
Yeah.
I'm just really excited about debate all of a sudden as a 31-year-old. Like, see? I did accomplish something. I got top speaker in high school at a debate tournament.
I won some awards.
That's pretty good, man.
For
it was pretty good. Don't confuse
did you
it
do,
was
did
as
you
a 16-year-old. I'm 31.
It's did you do debate or interpretation or what was
I
your...
Did, I did a little bit of everything. I did...
Oh, well, that's why you're no good. A winner picks. A winner picks.
I did extemp because you didn't really have to prepare too much for that. That's where they give you a topic and 15 minutes you have to write a speech about it.
Oh,
give it.
We both done some speech.
Oh, you've done?
Debate. Yeah.
Speech and debate was the most important thing I ever did.
Yeah, it really
life.
Was. Like, looking back, it was such a great...
Yeah, what else I did? I tried to
and
do
And then they made
humor.
Me take speech in college. I was like, I just did debate for like 3 years. Are you kidding
yeah,
me?
It's like, I...
Come on.
I got this.
I got this. I'd go in and do like, just...
Then
I'd
I got
like,
a
I'm
B
talk
minus.
About ping pong for my
then
speech
I got
today.
A B minus in my public speaking class, because I was like, at that point, I was like doing improv and stand-up and had done speech and debate.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like, well, you want me to prepare an outline of what I'm going to say? I mean, sure, I can, but I'm going to deviate from it. You know, just know that. I'm going to feel out the room, and then I'm going to deviate.
That is so much fun to do a speech class now. Like, I have so much more public speaking exercises.
Well, listen to the thing Nick did a few weeks ago here in Fort Collins.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Tell Patrick about that.
Okay, yeah, Patrick's it's a really cool thing, and it's cool just to plug it again, but... the Lyric Cinema and Cafe is doing every other month, so I guess the next one will be in March,
mm-hmm.
on like the last Thursday or something of it. You can
I totally
check it
that.
Out on their
totally
website.
Yeah.
But it's this thing, and it's called Story Swap, mm-hmm. and they give like a prompt,
yeah.
like I think about a month ahead of time or something, and you go and you buy a ticket, and if you want, you fill out a piece of paper and you put it in, and... So the one I did was on Oopsie Daisies.
Wait. What do you mean you fill out a paper and put it in?
You
fill
out.
So they draw you out?
Yeah.
They have to pick you?
Yeah.
So there's no guarantee.
There's no guarantee. But everybody who filled out a piece of paper went at the one I went to.
Okay.
There was, it wasn't like everybody who went there was like, oh, I'm going to share a story.
I was yelling at people in the parking lot my story. I'm like, fuck, you're going to listen to this, my Oopsie Daisy story.
Yeah, you're just going to post up in the lobby. You're going to block your way in. But, yeah, and so it was really cool because it wasn't stand-up.
Yeah.
Although I relayed a story, an embarrassing oopsie-daisy
well,
story
you
want that
to tell
I told.
Story if you want it to be a funny story.
During, but it's like, it was this natural story. But it was also so cool because you got all these people that would never do stand-up.
I'm going to do it for sure.
Would never do stand-up.
Yeah.
You know, there was like little old ladies and, you know, middle-aged mothers of three. And, you know, there was like a... This cute college age kind of girl that you could just tell would never even show up to a place where stand-up was happening.
Yeah.
And just by her and her friends, like, would always be... It was a lot of people who just aren't stand-up-y enough and would feel so ostracized and afraid of the culture. But they had kind of these funny or interesting little stories to share.
Yeah.
And so they go through it. And it was called Story Swap. It's at the Lyric, and it's an event they're going to keep on going
that
with.
That is cool.
But it was such a cool format. And it was so cool to see... Like, my favorite was this little old lady.
Yeah.
Who was talking about, like, some fracas she had, like, registering the tags on her car.
Yeah.
And her husband being an accountant and trying to hide that she, like, the late fees from him by, like, scrounging through all of her purses and jackets and finding all the money and change and cash. And it was, like...
That's cool.
And it's just these random people from all sorts of different walks of life telling these interesting little stories. And most of them were, like, funny, at least in some way. Yeah. And
Do they always do sad ones? Does anyone go, like, oh, like, really sad?
Nobody did. Sad. Nobody did practice, a right? really sad one. But a couple people did crap. Ones that were a little darker.
Uh-huh.
But nobody did, like, an out-and-out, like, super sad one. Although, I guess... Again, that college girl that that would just never be at stand-up, and she told a really funny story about wearing, like, a pair of old shorts and, like, a bunch of European change busting out of the back pocket of it, exposing her bare ass and Whole Foods, and then her, like, dropping and knocking over a bunch of shit and rushing out the store. And I guess, apparently, I don't know what the prompt was for their first one, but her first story had been about some parakeets that she had that caught some disease and exploded. And so, you know, it seemed like she had a good variety of, you know, stories.
It's called eating Alka-Seltzer.
Alka-Seltzer?
Alka-Seltzer?
I don't know. Alka-Seltzer? Like seltzer water?
Alka-Seltzer.
I've had a lot of trouble saying autoerotic asphyxiation lately.
That's tough, because that's an important word to say.
I've stumbled with it on stage a few times. I'm like, ah, fuck.
I always stumble when I say it in job interviews.
What are some special skills? Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Damn it!
Damn!
Asphyxiation?
I'll just walk out.
Let me just show you. Let me just pull off my belt here and give you a real quick demo.
I was pissed when I got my new phone and I was putting in auto... Like, it completes your words for you.
Right.
And I put autoerotic in and it didn't know I wanted asphyxiation after that.
What
the fuck?
You've got to develop a better relationship with your phone.
What are the others?
Autoerotic, automotive repair.
Which one does he mean? Which one does he mean?
Autoerotic.
Choking.
Equestrianism.
Autoerotic.
I don't know what that is. We ride a horse.
Autoerotic.
Drew about Patrick, he died from autoerotic equestriation.
Yeah, man. Oh, he's one of those weirdos. My dad used to work with a guy like that.
Autoerotic gymnastics. He sucks his own dick. I don't know. It's crazy. And
does the pommel horse.
At first I was disgusted, but now I'm just impressed.
Hey, man.
He sucks his own dick on the pommel horse. One could say that he's really pummeling that horse.
Before that guy showed up, nobody was sucking their dicks. Now everybody.
Now everybody's trying at least. He's changed the whole gymnastics game.
The producer walked in and she just immediately had a look on her face like, oh my
god. Hey, that's a great haircut.
This is bad.
Nice haircut.
I walk in and it's sucking a dick.
No, no. It's sucking one's own dick, Beth. Okay? Let's be right.
Please.
At least that way you know precisely where it's been.
You missed all the politics talk.
Yeah, we listed off all of the presidents at the beginning of the episode, and you had to come back in for the autoerotic segment of Ghost Me.
You know how most people like just to hear lists of presidents?
Well, the next thing I was going to suggest we do is the list of vice presidents.
Oh!
Yeah. I wouldn't know any of them.
Yeah, like nobody would know.
Biden, Cheney.
Only guys who fucked up. Guy who couldn't spell potato.
Ross Perot.
Oh, yeah. No, that was Quayle.
Oh, shit.
Perot wasn't a vice, you dick.
Yeah.
He just funded his own presidency.
Oh, yeah, he just ran a bunch of times.
The Golden Girls hate one guy. I can't remember who he is.
A VP?
Yeah.
There was a woman VP. She was, why did they make fun of Howie?
I don't know, because it was the Golden Girls. You guys should watch the Golden Girls. It's really good.
Really?
Yeah, it's so underrated as a fucking really funny show. It is super, like, Seinfeld-level funny.
That's the title. The Golden Girls is so underrated.
Fuck yeah, put that out in the world.
Make that job interview.
Yeah.
We hear you say, like, fuck all of the dying on a horse, jacking off talk that you had.
Just yeah.
He's like, no, I don't even care if they know. They're like the Golden Girls.
Fucking legitimately. I will give you guys DVDs. I have them. They're Japanese DVDs. All right,
I watched the first season only.
Of Golden Girls?
Yeah.
Well, you can't judge anything by the first season.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can. I'll
watch the second season.
Breaking Bad. Yeah.
My rule, because I'm a big talk show guy, like I love talk shows, like Tonight Show and stuff.
Okay.
I don't judge a guy.
You meant Springer.
No. Like, I was super addicted to the Tonight Show when I was a kid, and I don't judge a guy.
Jay Leno?
Yeah.
Oh.
I listened to Jay Leno. That was my dude. I fucking love Jay Leno.
I used to love you, dude. I used to be like, the biggest Patrick Scott fan. And
you
then...
do not like Jay Leno? I mean...
No, I mean, I'm not a fan of his show. I'm a Letterman guy.
I never...
You're a Letterman guy?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I wasn't around I'm getting East out Coast. Here. Oh, man.
East Coast?
Ah. Letterman, you just want to beat him up.
Letterman?
Jay, you want to beat up, too.
I'm a Letterman fan.
I don't think I watched him at the right time because he was cool when he was in
sort of like
the
Letterman
after movie. Tonight Show.
So. Colbert is taking
I was
over
always,
for Letterman.
I was
Are
always
you
a
me?
Conan guy.
That's the thing.
What's
their,
was
that's
Conan
their
guy.
How is
comedy.
Tina Fey not hosting a talk show? Like,
well,
she
may
be the best.
Yeah, maybe.
She would be the absolute best. Like, and then she'd be the only woman on late night. Like, everyone would watch that shit.
Dude, Comedy Central had a choice. We can put a woman or a black guy. And they
that show's
like
fucking good. Have you watched Larry Wilmore?
Yeah.
That's so
great.
Fucking hilarious. I love the first episode. They had a full black panel talking about black politics, except for Bill Burr. I'm like, what? It's like, oh my God, that guy's going to say something stupid. He's going to embarrass himself. And he kind of did. It was
fun. You know.
No, that's his... Have you seen him on Conan? He goes on there and just says, like... He goes over the top.
I loved him
like,
on Bill Maher because he was just so irritated by Bill Maher. Yeah. It was like, watching Bill Burr on
like,
Bill
I know
Maher,
what you're fucking doing,
he was just like...
Could be an asshole.
Yeah, he was just like, you fucking child. You know, you could tell that he was just thinking, like, oh my God, I just need the TV exposure.
Don't you
want
to see Bill Burr on Bill O'Reilly?
Oh my God.
We need to start
fisticuffs?
That. Come on.
It just be fisticuffs?
Ever since Nancy Grace started talking about weed, I've been paying attention to Nancy Grace.
That lady's crazy.
She's crazy,
her
right?
Talk with two
She's
chains?
So crazy. The talk with Dr. Drew is the best because, like, she says, like, he didn't have anything in his system except marijuana. And then Drew said, well, he's having withdrawals from his prescriptions. And, well, she says, well, there was nothing in his system. And Drew was like, that's evidence
that's what
withdrawals of
withdrawals. Withdrawals.
She's like,
man.
But there was nothing in his system but marijuana. Like, she's so good at, like, not paying attention to what's
right.
happening and just progressing
just,
the script.
Can you agree
forward.
With my, what I'm saying? Disagree with what I'm
like,
saying?
Like, I couldn't do that. I'd be like, oh, yeah. You know?
Did you know you that she actually... She actually had a fiance. She had a fiance that was murdered, and she has lied and embellished the story of his murder. She did have a fiance who was murdered,
uh-huh.
like while she was in law school or something. But she has milked that story for
up.
Everything, and
to that's the
point
only
of
guy who's ever
utterly lying
to her ugly fucking ass.
Well, that's why.
And then he hired someone to murder him. He's like, God, you gotta get me out of this. You gotta get me out of this. I don't even care. Just kill me. Just kill me. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm engaged to Nancy Grace.
I guarantee her name's not Nancy Grace.
I wouldn't be surprised if it
She's
is.
It's probably like Sue Bitchface or something. Like, that's what...
Yeah, that's you come up with a pseudonym if your given name is Sue Bitchface. I suppose you'd come up with that. What's your real name, Nancy? What's your real name? Ghost P wants answers. Yeah. Oh man, what if they get us back together just to go on
Nancy
Grace
with him? Talk about was pot in your system when you were calling me Sue Bitchface? Was pot in your system?
Yeah, but also just a genuine hatred for Nancy Grace. That was in my system, too.
I would be the worst, like, representation for, like, pot, why it should be legal. I'd be like, I don't know, I'm freaking out right now, Nancy. I can't,
You got me paranoid, Nancy. You got me paranoid.
Shit.
And hungry.
This stuff's way stronger than they told me it was. I'm really scared.
I should have stuck to just two gummy bears. Oh, think
Man.
Of the children.
Really
think of the children.
I really want to do coke right now. Just like escalate this, you know? Give me some heroin.
I feel like I'm on a roller coaster and I just keep wanting to go up. I don't want to go down. I don't want to go down.
I feel like pot is to blame, Nancy. for the way I
behave. This is all Pot's fault. This is all Pot's fault, Nancy.
It's the worst outlot with my last words.
Why does she hate Pot so much? Like, is it?
She doesn't care about Pot. She knows it's gonna. She has assholes like me who are gonna talk about it, and she knows it's a new hot topic. Like,
it's just a hot topic.
This will get. These will get clicked. Yeah, she's not.
It's just a good thing to, like, it's such an easy thing to vilify, because the people who want to hear you vilify it are like, oh, thank God, Nancy Grace is finally speaking the truth. And then the people who think you're wrong are like, what in the fuck are you talking about? And
that, makes
for great television.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Nancy Grace earned minutes on the super valuable ghost pee time,
They fucking people pay hard money.
What's our Nancy Grace, guys?
Our Nancy Grace? Yeah. I mean, like,
just to get big. Our old guapo. Like, these guys have something to say. They really hate Pot and say offensive things all the time.
Mm-hmm. What if we really hate?
Patrick's like, dude, why are you asking? If I knew, I'd already be doing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Be huge. Is you come up on something like that, and it is, it's a gold mine. I don't know if you guys saw the movie Gone Girl, but they have.
I love that movie.
But they have that Nancy Grace character.
Yeah.
And she's, like, so two-faced, and then, like, later tries to, like, hug him later on in the movie, and he's like, you called me a murdering scumbag on national television for weeks on end. Not really on hugging terms. And then she gives him this, like, tart little smile.
Kind of how on Any Given Sunday they have the Jim Rome character.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
the extreme characters in sports, news,
Well, when
whatever.
You think about it, that's what media is.
Yeah.
You know, all of the media characters that are popular, like, with the exception of, like, Tom Brokaw or Peter Jennings, who are, like, friendly statues here to...
But they're almost like the past. Like, there's nobody like that anymore.
Yeah, they're, like, they are relics in a weird way.
I blame beautiful women. I think they're taking all the good news jobs.
And they're not smart? Is that what you're
saying? No, no! I'm just saying. Whoa.
You heard it here first. Patrick Scott hates beautiful women.
That's not true.
I was all stupid.
I was just telling you how much I love Golden Girls earlier.
The guy who revealed that he's going to be proposing later. Like, here's what I hate about young
girls. Oh, yeah, you missed that, too.
I'm going to propose to a Golden Girl later.
Proposal reveal.
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you a question, a serious question.
Sure.
If your girlfriend, if you could say she is, which Golden Girl is she most like?
That's fun. Do you guys?
Is she a Blanche or is she a, what's the other?
Sophia.
Sophia.
The old one that's got some.
Do you actually know the names of the Golden Girls?
I knew Blanche.
That's what I was like, what?
Sophia.
Yeah, Blanche? Everybody knows Blanche.
Blanche is the slut, right?
Yeah, she's a girl.
Yeah, she's a slut. Blanche is a slut. Dorothy is... The main lady.
Dorothy? Okay.
Dorothy, and then Sophia's the old chick, who, interesting fact, was actually the youngest of the cast, but she played the oldest character. Interesting. And then Betty White.
I said interesting a few times. We got it.
It's interesting. Okay.
I was trying.
It's interesting.
Okay, you picked up on my subtleties, right? I was trying to convince you subliminally that was interesting. And then what the fuck is Betty White's character's name? I don't know. You guys?
Betty White.
She's Betty fucking White. Come on. That's her character's name.
That's her character's name.
It's Betty fucking White. That's a good goddamn show, but they hate Howie Mandel.
And what was Howie Mandel on when that show was on the air?
He was the dude. He was like, that was just the de facto, here's the shitty comedian, like Carrot Top, like people would say, or Dane Cook, you know, like the de facto.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he was just blowing gloves up with his nose. And that was his big...
I know nothing about him.
That was his bit?
That was his closer. Like, he remember he was telling a story on some podcast where he's like, he was going to some show...
remember? Like, we all listen to every podcast out there. I mean, look at this podcast.
Some podcast, I don't know. Where he was just blowing up gloves with his nose, and that was his closer.
I heard him on Howard Stern one time. I enjoyed it. Thought he was pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Good business mind, I thought.
Yeah. And he's got weird OCD where he doesn't shake hands or anything.
Yeah, huh. And that's understandable. You meet a lot of fucking dirty people out there. You know what I mean? I had a guy dipping his fingers in my drink one time on this show, and...
Nate.
Oh, yeah, have you guys podcasted?
No.
He's nah.
It's hard.
What about comedy?
Lips,
what are you up to? You're moving to Denver?
Probably.
You're gonna be a Denver guy before too long. You're gonna be, like, so
I don't want to be a fucking Greeley guy. That's for damn sure. So, I'll take that. Actually, it'll be more like somewhere in between Boulder and Denver.
An Aurora guy. All right, yeah.
I'm going to get a lot of guns.
That's where all the heat's coming from.
Woo! It might be the only place where you could find something cheap is in Aurora. I think that's the only
place. That's kind of actually true. Is now you're looking at, like...
I lived in Aurora. I think it it was it's overplayed how bad it is.
Sure. Unless you want to move, south of Denver to, the Fortin or...
Think probably.
Arvada kind of thing, but...
Anything's better than Greeley. It smells bad.
I'm not going to fight you on that. I am not going to fight you on that.
How you feeling about your comedy?
I'm feeling good.
Progressing?
Yeah. I'm getting better at talking to people.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's important.
Just in general. So it's better.
Yeah, like paying attention to the crowd and stuff.
Yeah, I like pointing out when weird shit... Like, I don't know. I think... I always get uncomfortable when people don't address what's happening.
Right.
Like, they just steamroll through whatever they're saying, and it's weird when they're not addressing what's happening. And so whenever I get the feeling to address something, I do, and it works out maybe 50% of the time.
Sure.
But sometimes it's just fun. It's just really fun to do that.
Putting yourself
those
out
those are always
there,
the most fun shows, when you catch somebody.
Yeah.
And Nick probably could tell us better than anything, since all he does is just...
I have no material.
Oh, are you feeling uncomfortable, ma'am, eating your salad while I'm shitting like a dog? Is that what you're doing
I'm
right
just
now?
Waiting for people to begin to become uncomfortable. Yeah, all I ever get up there with is... some catalyst. I'm like, eventually this will cause discomfort. And,
what I did last night, because I went to the Twisted Pine, and that one's kind of weird, because it's a brewery.
And it's weird, right?
Everyone's there to have fun and drink beer and communicate, and then demanding their attention is always kind of weird.
It's hard. It's good. It's a good challenge.
Nobody was listening, so I just said, thank you for the people in front who are listening. You're very attractive. And I started pointing out, I told everyone else in the audience, like, hey, if you start listening, I'll start telling you how attractive you are. And everyone started listening and, like, perking up and, like...
You're doing something different.
Yeah.
You're doing something, like,
out of the box.
I was
like, I'll have sex with you. I was like, I wasn't even saying anything that clever. I was just saying it in a pattern that was, like, reminiscent of a joke. but it was something that was naturally coming out. Yeah. So that's the weirdest
thing. If I speak in the cadence of a joke, people will laugh in the appropriate places, even if there's nothing funny here.
Yeah, I was literally just saying, like, the item of clothes they were wearing and their sex... And then if I would have sex with them or not, and people were just having a good time. And then people wanted me to, like, say if I was going to have sex with them.
Well, you know, that's...
A few of them,
the engagement is, as, like, doing stand-up comedy, there's nothing more painful than watching somebody who it's like a meteor could come crashing in through the roof and kill half the audience, and they would still just do the remainder of their 5 minutes in that way. And as an audience, I think that's what's the easiest to shut down from is when it's like... Oh, stand-up comedy is happening up there, and it's almost like something on a TV screen,
but
it's less entertaining, and you just know that you're not allowed to throw bottles or rotting food at them. And so when somebody makes it at all that give and take,
Well, the thing that I always thought was interesting, I heard Bill Burr describe somebody going up there and not reacting to what's happening in the room or addressing something, as the person might as well be on a TV being played by a video. And if a guy's going up there and just saying something very rotely, then everyone is addressing it like it's a video.
But I think that's where you start. I really think that's where you start as a comic. Or some people. Some people, I don't know how Dan started, if he wrote them out verbatim or whatever. But now he is mostly, like, he has his jokes, but he's playing off the crowd like you do. You and Dan are very similar the way you engage with the crowd. I'm trying to move, like we talked about on Jacobs a little bit, move from being scripted to engage the crowd.
Well, I think the beginning is finding any ways to get over the discomfort, which is real and is palpable. And again, we all credited our speech and debate experience from high school as being super helpful in this. But it is any way to make yourself more comfortable in the setting of what it is you're trying to do, which is present material that you've written, that is yours, that you intend to be funny, and would really like for these other people to find funny as well, and to just get over what a weird trip that is in the first place. And that's why I don't discredit anybody for, like, whatever way they find of doing it, which is, like, for instance, like, French accent, beloved friend to the podcast here, but it's like Kevin Bennett is such a dynamo of energy at all times that it doesn't really matter whether or not he's engaging with the crowd. Even a lot of the ways he has to engage with the crowd are scripted. He just needs to see a woman in the front to be like, have you ever been wooed before? And then it's like, But he's so high energy. He's just.
He's still very scripted, though.
The whole time. It's still very scripted. He doesn't
go off script ever.
No,
even in, he's written crowd work jokes.
He has. But I mean, the thing is that just the degree of energy that he does it with,
yeah.
You could lock him in a room and just set up a closed circuit camera and be like, all right, I'm worried a bunch of people are watching.
Nobody in the room, as long as the camera's on him.
Yeah,
and
he could
just
be
put a laugh track in.
Be he like, could be big performing in a room full of cardboard cutouts. Yeah, and he'd still be selling it to the degree
like
that
at
he
a
is.
Shooting range.
And so it's like, I mean, you look at that and it's like, that's how he has figured out how to do that.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, for the beginning and trying to have material that's hammered out that you feel confident in and going up and presenting that, I feel like that's a really healthy thing because after a while you just get used to. Again, when I started, and I was a terrified little 18, 19-year-old showing up to the open mics that would let me in and stuff. And so when I started, a lot of times it was just a matter of getting the material out. And then I'd get through it, and I'd be like, oh, my God, I can't believe I got through that joke. Oh wow. And it went okay, you know? And
it was cool because we haven't run into each other for a few weeks, and we showed up to the C Plus open mic in Denver.
Yeah.
I don't know, is it a new one or?
It's new ish, and it's every other week, and then it's in a weird part of town, so a lot of people haven't gone to it.
So it's not ran
by comics, it's ran by somebody who's just trying to do comedy.
Showed up, and no one was there. Like, the room was, like, we were the only two individuals in the room. Bartender came up, and we were like, yeah, ready for the count. We were there like 15 minutes early. It wasn't even that early. Like, it was close. And so we were kind of hanging out. I was like, oh, this is not an intimidating Denver open mic. This feels like Jalazi, only like in like a youth group room or something like
that.
Yeah,
it's weird.
And then Patrick walks in like 20 minutes later. I was like, holy fuck, I hadn't seen him for like a month. You know? He said he stopped smoking weed.
I stopped smoking weed for like the new year. I mean, for the first month of the year is what
month.
I said.
Yeah, 1 month.
And then I had started most, I haven't smoked for most of December, so now I'm just getting back into that weird game. Trying to, like, not do it as much.
If every New Year's resolution only lasted a month, it'd be a lot of, like, I'm going to set some resolutions.
I'm going to kick ass in January.
I will not get drunk during the week.
Reasonable goals, man. Settable, reasonable marks. No, I just needed, I don't know, it's to figure out, like.
It's nice to clear your head out a little bit some of the time.
I think it's good. Because I was wondering how much I was using it to, like, self-medicate for anxiety and stuff like that. And getting it out of my system, limiting the variables in my head, really helped me figure out what was going on. And now I realize weed wasn't a problem.
Nice! Those are the best. Those are the best. When it's like, I can just happily go back to that. Yeah. Take that, Nancy Grace, you bitch.
Seems pot was not to blame. That's her hashtag, is pot to blame.
And pot to
question,
blame?
Pot to blame and then a question mark.
God, what
great
a
journalism.
Hack.
Just end with
what
a question.
What a hack. I would have put my hashtag, if I was Nancy Grace, as gone to pot. You know, you'd be like, has society gone to pot?
Question mark.
Come on, Nancy. Come on,
Nance.
She dropped the ball, man.
All right,
she
let's should have
taken a
up.
Hit.
What are you going to be on in the future? You're on all kinds of shit now.
Tobias
just
has taken me to whatever he does in Glenwood Springs.
Glenwood Springs?
Yeah.
What's the dates? Do you remember?
Next Friday, I think.
Friday,
Loyal
next weekend.
Brothers.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
I think
a
so.
Cool little spot.
Yeah, it's weird. It's going to be me, Dick Black, Byron Graham, and Penny from Heaven, which is a weird, like, motley
that's a
crew.
Weird group.
That's
yeah.
A, yeah, that is quite the ragtag.
That's Tobias.
Young
that's
guns.
Tobias, isn't it?
It's like, you know.
It's so weird. Like, yeah, it's like the A team.
Yeah.
I'm Mr. T.
I'd love to see. I mean, I'm not wishing this on you, but if there's some car breakdown and then all of a sudden the four of you were surviving in the wilderness,
film,
or five of
filming.
You were surviving in the wilderness together. Oh, my God.
Nick and I will call it as commentate. We'll, like, find your body with the video.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll just commentate what's happening. Like,
that'd
in a
great.
Humorous way.
No, I'll give it to your soon-to-be fiancé tape. And
ex-fiancé.
Like Werner Herzog at the end of Grizzly Man, I'll be like, here's this tape. You must not listen to this tape. It's terrible. Just film ourselves listening to it, like, on earphones and just crying. Or, you know, just, oh. It's yeah, too it's much. Just tape. I suggest you destroy.
You do a great Werner Herzog.
I yeah, try.
He does a lot of impressions. I don't know if you've heard any of them.
No, I got some voices. Podcasts. I got some voices.
What's your favorite voice?
Oh, wait, can oh, I do God. This one?
Can you do this? Do you have yeah, to do
it's the British. His go-to is the British guy.
No, that's just the one I slip into the most.
That's what I'm saying. Go-to is slip into. That's just the one I slip into.
It's not my favorite.
Well, it's your go-to.
Yeah, probably Werner Herzog is my favorite. Because
it's the one that he just did.
Oh, yeah. I like
it's
that one.
It's also just inappropriate some of the time.
I like it. Yeah. Can you do Bane from The Dark Knight Rises?
You know, you could do I know Bane. I could. But I know it's a lot of guys who can do it better.
Oh, really?
It's just yeah. And it's also it's one of those ones that everybody did for a little while, and you know, no, I'm not going to do it.
Oh,
well, episode 44,
pretty good one.
Final words. What do you have to share?
I can do a Bane impression. I am known well for my Bane impression.
Oh, yes, very good. No, he just that's automatically killed you. See that?
He just whipped his
you
impression
him.
Dick.
You
he whipped
to
his impression
sure.
dick out on the table.
You wanted to make sure he didn't have a better Bane impression, and he's like, no, I don't really do Bane.
I don't
like,
really.
Well, I have a Bane, and he did it. He did it like 10 times better. See? This is why we want him to move to Durango. He's just good at everything. He's like, nah.
I
can't do a Bane.
Indeed, I suppose I lied initially about the skills of my Bane voice. I did not want to make anyone.
Who would have expected Bane to lie?
I still think mine's better. I'll say that.
All right. Fans
my Bane's way better.
Is he British?
Your Bane has
a British nanny?
Sounds like Bane.
Like Mary Poppins?
Your Bane has such a high pitch in his voice.
Did his Bane is like literally bloodying your Bane.
Just my Bane is doing just fine.
It's embarrassing.
You sound like if Bane had never climbed out of those caves and had not built the necessary character to break Batman's back.
It is frightening how much I sound like Bane right now.
He doesn't have the voice to carry out of his Bane mask.
I agree.
It's very sad. It's as though he simply cannot do it.
Yeah. Why did we have this guy on to our podcast?
I don't know. He wouldn't even tell us the weather.
You guys do awful Bane impressions. This is Bane in his bathtub.
I am Bane riding in a helicopter.
So whether or not the furrow found his shadow...
I am about to commit a terrorist act in the sporting event.
I-25 is unnavigable right now.
Do not even try to go down I-24.
It is unseasonably warm for the beginning of February. Back to you, Ken.
That's how easy it is to do it, you know?
I do. If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty when you call me, you can call me out. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and oh, my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you'll be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Daddy, and Daddy when you call me. Maybe it's his first time around. Doesn't speak language, he holds no currency. He is a foreign man. He is surrounded by the sound cattle in the marketplace, scatterlings and orphanages. He looks around, around. He sees angels in the architecture, spinning in infinity. He says, angels.